in all. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the April 20th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's tip off with pro basketball. The 2020 NBA draft is scheduled for June 25th in New York City. However, there's a good chance the draft could be postponed with the league in limbo right now because of the coronavirus pandemic. The NBA went on hiatus March 11th, and league commissioner Adam Silver says a decision on resuming play won't be made until May at the earliest. The annual NBA draft typically features U.S. college players, but international players are also eligible to be drafted. One of the international players who has declared for the draft is 21-year-old Jordan Nwora, the son of Alex Nwora, the head coach of Nigeria's national men's basketball team. Jordan is a forward who played three seasons for the University of Louisville men's basketball team. Last season, Jordan averaged 18 points and almost 8 rebounds a game for the Cardinals of Louisville. Jordan has also represented Nigeria's national team, the Tigers, in international competition. Last year, in a World Cup qualifying game against Mali, Jordan scored 36 points, setting a new Nigeria record for most points scored in a game at a major tournament. For reaction to Jordan Nwora declaring for the NBA draft, Iron Mike Mbonye contacted the assistant coach of the Nigerian men's national team and the head coach of Rivers Hoopers basketball club, Ogo Odadu.
It's a great development for the young player. Jordan is very talented. He has shown at this early age, at this young age, that he can play. He was one of the best 5 players in the NCAA this year. So it's obviously a great move for him. It's a great step forward. And with the kind of response that he has received since he made that commitment, you can tell that he is going to be successful.
Jordan Nwora was just 19 when he represented Nigeria at the FIBA World Cup. Do you think that the experience will give him an edge at the NBA draft?
He was just 19 when he played in the FIBA World Cup. And of course, that experience was going to give him an edge. Do not forget that the World Cup was littered with NBA players. I am sure every team at that competition had an NBA player or two on their team. And it was a very, very high level. So if he could play there and play well, I am very sure that it will give him an added advantage over the other people in the draft who have no international experience yet.
Which club will you prefer Jordan to join after the draft?
I don't care which club Jordan plays for. He could be picked for any team. All I'm saying is that let him just get drafted. After his first one or two seasons and he does very well, of course, the bigger teams are going to look at him.
Any message to young and aspiring Nigerian basketball players about the game?
This is going to all the young and aspiring basketball players in Nigeria. Anything is possible. It just takes a lot of hard work and dedication. If you do it, if you work hard and you are dedicated, of course, you can come and be picked by the NBA. A case in view is Ejike Ogbuaja, who was playing his trade here in Nigeria with Union Bank, and all of a sudden he just got drafted into the NBA. So anything is possible.
That's Ogo Odadu, the head coach of Rivers Hoopers basketball team. And he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Port Harcourt, Nigeria.
Sporting greetings. This is Ogo Odadu, head coach, Rivers Hoopers basketball team. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thanks.
This is the Voice of America. Washington, Bam, D.C.
I won the stock of all. I just wanted to say that now's the time to practice kindness and empathy towards everyone around you. We're all doing our best to get through this together, so make sure you do your part. grab a book, read it to your nieces and nephews and video chat, make a donation of canned goods to your local food bank, or even add some items to your shopping cart for your elderly neighbors. But most importantly, don't forget to just pick up the phone and call somebody and check in. That may mean a lot. You never know. We all can't be next to each other right now, but we still can show how much we care about one another. So visit NBATogether.com and join us in inspiring acts of caring. Thank you.
Thank you, Taco. That's Senegalese center, Taco Fall of the Boston Celtics. The Celtics signed Fall last year to a two-way contract, which stipulates that a player's salary is dependent upon the league in which the athlete is assigned to play. So far, Taco has been splitting time between the Celtics and Boston's G League developmental team, the Maine Red Claws.
You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Prince Nesta joins us now with a report on some of the sports figures who have died from the coronavirus disease. Sporty greetings, Prince.
Sporty greetings to you too, Sunny. While the spread of the novel coronavirus has led to over 143,000 deaths worldwide, the sports world hasn't been spared either. Papi Diouf, the journalist from Senegal who became the first black president of a major European club, Olympique Marseille, in 2005, passed away last month in his home country, Senegal, after contracting the coronavirus. The 68-year-old was born in Chad, where his father was a government official, before moving to Senegal with his family as a child. At 19, he was sent for studies in France, but soon after abandoning a military course, he became a freelance journalist. He later went on to become a sports reporter in Marseille through the 1980s, and later a football agent with a client list which included Ghana's football maestro Abedi Ayew Pele, former Cameroon defender Rigobert Song, the late Marc Vivien Foe, Titi Camara, Didier Drogba, William Gallas, Samir Nasri, Andre, and Jordan Ayew. Those who poured their tributes included former Guinean Liverpool striker Titi Camara, who said in the quote, "The first time I met him, I was playing with Saint-Etienne in the early 1990s. Papé helped us to understand there's a life after football. He advised us to invest our money in order to have revenues after our football careers." Three-time African Footballer of the Year Bedi Pele said, and I quote, "I remember after the 1993 UEFA Champions League final, he told me, 'You're the Black Maradona, and Africa will always be proud of you.'" There is no amount of words to describe Papé Diouf. Papé was a father, a senior brother, and then a manager. Former Arsenal midfielder of Algerian descent Samir Nasri also spoke of the impact Diouf had on his career at an early stage before he moved to Arsenal in 2008 by saying, and I quote, "Few people in the world of football have touched me or have had an impact like you may have had in my life or in my career. You've always been a mentor. You have been my first agent and you are my president. It is with a heavy heart that I must say goodbye. You left too early. I will never forget you, Papé Diouf." You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Leeds United great Norman Hunter also died in hospital last week, age 76, after contracting coronavirus. The tough-tackling centre-back, nicknamed Bites Your Legs, was a key player in Leeds' most successful era, winning two league titles during a 14-year first-team career at Elland Road, and was part of England's 1966 World Cup winning squad. Born in 1943 in Northeast England, Hunter left school at the age of 15 to become an electric fitter, and was scouted by Leeds when playing a match for his local team, Bentley Juniors. He played his first game for Leeds against Swansea Town at the age of 18 and went on to make 726 appearances for the club over a 14-year period. England's official Twitter paid their respects to their former World Cup champion, writing in their quote, "We are extremely saddened to learn of the passing of Norman Hunter at the age of 76. No man was part of our FIFA World Cup winning squad and won 28 caps for the Three Lions. Tom Dempsey, who played in the NFL despite being born without toes on his kicking foot and made a record 63-yard field goal, also died while struggling with complications from the coronavirus. The 73-year-old, according to his daughter, resided in an assisted living home for several years after being diagnosed with dementia before testing positive for the virus. Dempsey's game-winning field goal against Detroit on November 8, 1970, stood as an NFL record for 43 years until the Broncos' Matt Prater broke it with a 64-yarder in Denver in 2013. Dempsey spent 11 seasons in the NFL. His first two seasons were with New Orleans, the next four with Philadelphia, then two with the Los Angeles Rams, one with the Houston Oilers, and the final two with Buffalo. He retired after the 1979 season. Former Denver Broncos and LSU wide receiver Orlando McDaniel also died due to complications from the coronavirus. The 59-year-old led LSU in receiving in 1981 with 41 catches for 719 yards and was second in the Southeastern Conference with 17.5 yards a catch. He caught 64 passes for 1,184 yards in his college career from 1978 to 1981. He played only one season in the NFL after being drafted in the second round by the Denver Broncos in 1982. Two former college basketball players with New York City roots also died of complications of the novel coronavirus pandemic. The two include David Edwards, who set Texas A&M's single-season record for assists as a guard in the early 1990s, and Lee Green, a guard who also played for St. John's in the early 1990s. Edwards, who was from New York, transferred to A&M from Georgetown before the 1991-1992 season and averaged 13.5 points, 7.1 assists, and 4.9 rebounds in 85 games for the Aggies. His 265 assists as a senior is still a Texas A&M record. Green, on the other hand, was a retired police officer in Brooklyn and was a parade All-American in high school. He played for two St. John's NCAA tournament teams from 1991 to 1994. For the Sunny Side of Sports, I'm Prince Nestor in Eugene, Oregon.
Hi, this is Lori London. Tune in to the Voice of America's newscast. Every hour, on the top of each hour, 24/7. Listen to our news and correspondent reports from around the world. VOA is your trusted source for news and information.
Sporty greetings. This is Jonathan McKinstry, the head coach of the Uganda men's national team. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thanks.
Thanks, coach. Samson Omale joins us now with a package of African sports news. And Samson says a wheelchair tennis coach in South Africa tops his report.
Patrick Selebe, the development coach for Wheelchair Tennis South Africa, is worried that the sporting calendar of persons living with a disability in sports in South Africa has been negatively impacted, with many national and international tournaments cancelled.
As South Africans, we are definitely affected by this coronavirus because you can imagine our programs have been stopped. We no longer have coaching at centers. And you can imagine, I mean, some of the centers, the only thing they can do is wheelchair tennis, because remember, wheelchair tennis is the only sport in South Africa that can reach to rural areas.
Johan Duploy, the chair South Africa Disabled Golf Association, speaks on how several cancellations of national and international competitions is affecting disabled sports in South Africa.
It's impacted disabled golf as it's impacted all the other sports internationally severely.
In Nigeria, the Nigerian Football Federation has announced that the 2019-2020 Nigeria Professional Football League season will be completed within 6 to 8 weeks after the coronavirus crisis. The league was suspended indefinitely on March 18th after match day 25 to contain the spread of COVID-19 that has paralyzed sporting activities in the country community and the world at large. While the wait continues, football fans in Nigeria are eager to get their favorite sports back on regular schedule.
I miss football a lot, like really, really a lot, most especially this lockdown period. I would have personally been watching football, but now there's nothing to watch. Somebody just go home, it's bored, nothing at all.
Over the weekends, you have early kickoffs from like 12:30 to around 8:30 in the night. You still find yourself very much glued to the TV set watching this game. So it's not just a game, it's something personal now.
Nigerian Football Federation President Amaju Pinnick, the Football Federation, is considering their priorities with the impact of coronavirus post the pandemic.
No, every competition is important. That I can tell you. There's no competition that is not important. But what's called the scale of preference. That is the truth. You look at your priority. You look at the priority right now. It doesn't mean in future that we cannot go back to, you know, there are so many things that we need to cut down on. We have to look at the reality of what is going on.
In basketball news, Brooklyn Nets guard Spencer Dinwiddie has confirmed that he's making arrangements to play for the Nigerian men's basketball team. Dinwiddie was not among the 44 players who USA Basketball named as finalists for the Olympic team in February. Nigeria has already clinched a spot in the Olympics by winning Group M at the FIBA World Championships. I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
My name is Amaju Marvin Pinnick, President of Nigerian Football Federation, First Vice President of CAF, and a member of the Organizing Committee for FIFA competitions. I want to say a big shout out to the Sunny Side of Sports. Thank you very much.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bongo flavor to soukous, Afrobeat to ndombolo and makossa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
Dear respected friends, sports greetings. This is Milutin Micho-Sredovic, coach of Zambia National Football Team Chipolo Polo and former national coach of Uganda Cranes. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thanks.
Thanks, coach. The coronavirus outbreak has brought live tennis action to a standstill. But two big stars in the sport are doing their part to stay connected off the court and help their home countries during the crisis. My VOA colleague, Gwen Uten, joins us now with details. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sunny. As millions of people hunker down to ride out the coronavirus pandemic, many are reaching out to friends and family via social media. And on Friday, tennis greats Novak Djokovic and Andy Murray reached across the globe for an Instagram Live Q&A. The two athletes look back on their careers, their on-court rivalry, and answered questions from 20,000 fans who tuned in. And when asked about their most painful loss on the court, Andy Murray said his 2016 loss to Djokovic in the French Open final remains one of his most shattering defeats, an admission that took Djokovic a bit by surprise.
Roland Garros, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, if I could change one result, because obviously I would have loved to have won the Australian Open or the French Open, but I think, like, as a challenge for me, because clay was such a tough surface for me throughout, like, my career, and just for, in terms of the way that I played, like, on clay, it was the hardest one for me to adapt to, that I think that would have been, for me, my biggest achievement if I'd managed just to win the French. Obviously, Australia's been pretty painful, thanks to you, over the years. But yeah, if I could change one, I'd take the French Open off you. And obviously for you, that was obviously for you to win. Well, that was the first time you won the French, right?
So. Yeah, it was the only time, exactly.
In that championship, Djokovic came back from a first set loss to defeat Murray and complete a career Grand Slam. But while Djokovic can claim a French Open title, the world number one says his defeats to Murray and Rafael Nadal in the 2012 and 2008 Olympic Games were two of his toughest losses.
I think it would be related to Olympic Games. So maybe the match played against you in London,
or Rafa in Beijing, top eight.
Was that in the semis?
Yeah, I lost semis, like, also very close. I was, like, it was 3-0, 4-0. I had something like 15-30, 15-40 or something like that. And I lost, like, I think 6-4 or 7-5 in the third. I missed an overhead, very easy overhead, which is quite typical of me throughout my career.
I think I've seen that one a couple of times.
I had, like, 15 best months of my career behind me before Rio, and then I remember I was practicing for 2 hours on the center court singles, and then I went on with Serbian guys to practice for another, like, hour and a half doubles.
Yeah.
And I start to feel my wrist at the end of the doubles sets that we played.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, it's just, I'm tired, it's all, you know. And it started to be more painful. And I don't want this to sound like an excuse, but that's because of that I lost to the Potros. Absolutely not. I mean, I was enabled. I did get some injections, and I had to go out on the court and, like, try. But I felt really sad that I wasn't at my best, and I had a really tough draw. I felt like if I had made a slightly better draw, then I could kind of work my way in the tournament. So probably, yes, I would, if I had a chance to turn back the time and maybe change the outcomes, would be probably Rio or London with you in 12.
Djokovic has yet to win an Olympic gold medal, a feat Andy Murray has achieved twice. Murray is still on the road to recovery from a hip operation in 2019. And as he works to get back to top form, the 3-time Grand Slam champion says he's learned it's more important to appreciate the successes than dwell on the losses.
Looking back with the issues I've had the last couple of years, I do wish that I'd enjoyed those moments more, because when you see that maybe the end is coming, you realize, like, you know, I should have enjoyed, like, the wins and the, you know, big matches, or, you know, even some of the ones that you lost as well that were great matches, to try and, you know, get some enjoyment out of them, because for sure we'll miss it when it's, you know, when it's not there anymore. So yeah, it's, I don't know, but yeah, it's important to be critical of yourself, even in, like, good moments, but you need to try and enjoy the wins. I wish I'd done that a bit better, for sure.
And when the athletes were asked what they would have done rather than play tennis, Djokovic spoke of his affinity for science, an interest echoed by Murray.
Well, I would probably stay in sports, because I come from family of, you know, athletes. My dad was playing football and professional skier as well. So I would probably be in sports, even though I do love science.
Okay.
So I do love science, so I probably would love to be a scientist of some kind.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. I've always said footballer. I always fancy myself as a bit of a footballer, but like right now, it'd be pretty cool to be a doctor, because you kind of realize what's important in times like this. It'd be nice to actually be able to help other people as well. But
absolutely.
And the two men are making an impact off the court. Andy Murray has made a donation to the Addenbrookes Charitable Trust to help his native UK fight the coronavirus. And Novak Djokovic has pledged funds to help buy ventilators and medical equipment for his home country, Serbia. And that is all from me, Sonny. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. I encourage our Voice of America listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny, and my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. If you go to my Facebook page, you'll see a photo of Nigerian basketball player Jordan Nwora, who, as I reported earlier, has declared for the 2020 NBA Draft. And that wraps up the April 20th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
VOA.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
VOA's Our Voices television program is about more than just sitting and talking about women's issues.
It's about listening to them
and bringing their opinions to the table and making sure that their voices are heard. Because our lived experiences, our stories, and our voices will help shape the next generation.
Check your local TV listings and join the conversation each week with Our Voices on VOA.
Join your host, Larry London, for Border Crossings, VOA's Worldwide Music Request Hour, every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in to hear your favorite songs and artists, win prizes and giveaways, and get the latest scoop from exclusive celebrity interviews. Send in requests to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or call 202-618-2077 to have your favorite music played for the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal.